Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
From our basement to your headphones, barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
What is up, everybody? This is the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who has an infectious smile and is comfortable sliding in the two hole. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm good, but now I'm feeling a little more awkward. Thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The two hole. Is this like a goalie's? What's the difference between a two hole and a five hole?
About three hole, I would say.
Three holes difference.
Three holes difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you're referring to. I'm just talking about the two spot in the Tigers order, as you say, vacated by Jonathan Scope. And also vacated a long time ago by one Torrey Hunter.
Torrey Hunter. Yeah, I understand there's some connection here with Torrey. Is that right?
There is. So a different venture has allowed me a weird amount of access to professional athletes over the last couple of weeks. And I had the chance to interview Torrey Hunter, I don't know, two or so nights ago. I started off the episode by asking him about what it's like to be a teammate of the legendary Don Kelly. A lot of love for Donnie. Said he's one of his all-time favorite teammates. And I mentioned that I thought that Donnie was the Lord of the Sack Fly. And he's like, oh, that's right. Donnie, always on the sack flies.
Don, he's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can't not like Donnie. He also said that Jim Leland, the manager of the Tigers in 2013, it was Leland's last year, said that he had a system down, that he knew that as soon as the ball was put in play, that the camera would be focused on the ball in play and not on the dugout. So that's when he would take the quick drags on his cigarette.
That is next level. That is five-dimensional chess.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect anything less from the old skipper. I mean, he's clearly working at a higher plane than the rest of us.
An intellect unknown to mankind, for sure.
And he also said that the 2013 team, which would have been the season that we had Doug Fister in the rotation, not the year that we traded for David Price, that was the best team that he played on in his 19 years, which, I mean, that's a long career that he went deep into the playoffs a couple times with Minnesota, but that was the team. He had nothing but glowing things to say about one Verlander, Scherzer, and Doug Fister. Doug Fister was the big one that he really wanted to talk about.
Really? No kidding. Understandable. I mean, Fister was brilliant. He was as much of an ace that year as those other guys. Porcello was on that team.
Anibal, right? Yep.
Sanchez. Wow. That team was stacked.
Yeah. It's almost like we should have won a World Series that year.
Yeah, it's so harsh. I mean, is that the year that Fister struck out nine guys in a row? Ten
I think
guys in a row?
I think so. I think we ended that year with your boy as the closer.
With Phil?
I think so. I could be transposing years. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I was but a kid.
Yeah, it is weird how things just meld in your mind after a while.
Especially when they're all bullpen collapses. It's like, what's the bother in differentiating between them?
The different collapsing, yeah.
He also mentioned that Gardenhire, so when Torrey came up, his manager was Tom Kelly, Gardenhire, I believe was the bench coach. And Gardenhire was the biggest prankster in the essentially in the organization. He would be lighting people's shoelaces on fire under the bench, you know, the old put chewing gum wherever. And it's nice to know that despite being an elder statesman now, that Gardy had his moments.
I could see that. Still, Gardy seems pretty playful yet. I mean, he's got that jolly look about him. He's kind of a prankster yet at heart.
Yeah, and the last little bit, I know we've gone on for a long time about something that's completely not this podcast, but he played with David Ortiz before he was Big Poppy, which I was really keen to ask him about because when he was with Minnesota, he kind of wasn't very good.
Right.
And he's like, David, despite not being very good back then, same dude, like he always had that same, you know, infectious Big Poppy style personality. But he told us a story that Corey Koski, remember the Twins third baseman back in the day, actually put peanut butter and covered the entire bit of Big Poppy's jock strap one game. And about the first or second inning, he realized, like, what is going on down there? And Torrey's like, dude, what is going on in your jock strap normally that it takes you until into the game before you realize that there's...
Is it normally kind of slimy and viscous down there?
Maybe. But apparently he just finished the game with the PB in his jockstrap.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's commitment.
I want to say kudos. I don't know if that's the right word in this context, but it's something.
Yeah. Comes back to the locker room, get some crackers or celery, good to go.
Ants on a log.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So just like last week, I have a favor to ask all of you listeners. I have launched a new sports podcast. With two of my fellow podcasting friends, which is ironically not the one that I referred to in the open. That's a completely different deal.
You have so many podcasts. How many girlfriends do you have?
Yeah, this will always be my first love. I will always come back to the Podcastianos because this is where my roots are.
Yeah, you tell all the podcasts.
But anyway, it's sports, gambling, pop culture, current events, all that kind of stuff. If you like this show, there is a pretty good chance that you are also going to like that show.
If you like this podcast, but don't like me, boy, do we have something for you.
Yeah. Imagine replacing Eric with two other early 30s somethings that know like young people things.
Yeah, that's an upgrade for sure.
It's different. I don't know that it's always an upgrade, but it's different. There's something to be said for wisdom and age.
Yeah, I mean, if you want old man takes, I guess. I shouldn't be even joking about that. I'm not that old.
I mean, that's certainly up for debate.
Laugh it up.
Anyways, I need your help to get this all rolling. There's two episodes up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. If you could download both, subscribe, rate, and review it, that would be incredibly helpful. The first couple of months kind of set the tone for how iTunes and all the other platforms view your show, and I would prefer it, all things being equal, if they viewed the show well. So more people listened and hopefully make some money.
You're not doing anything else important.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that other stuff. Just do what Hall tells you.
Yeah. Next time you're on the toilet, whip out your phone, go leave us a review, and then finish your business.
Yeah. That's a strong agenda.
I'm neutral on you washing your hands. It's up to you.
It's America.
So this show that you're currently listening to, if you want to get in touch with you, can with us, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. I am, of course, on Instagram at Jordinho4. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever else you get your pods.
I feel like you just need to give us a subscribe just for old time's sake once in a while.
I should. I forgot about that. It's been a minute.
Give us the subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe. Yeah, subscribe, rate, and review.
Good job.
Thanks. So, Eric, after the excitement we had on last week's show, which admittedly was maybe a little bit tempered, the Tigers just got absolutely punked 19-0 by the Brewers and have now lost 6 of their last 8 games.
Seems bad.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Wildly, we're still in the playoff hunt. That is much more of an indictment on the Yankees than it is positive on us. But we're still kind of there.
There, it seems in the media, the kind of a meltdown with the Yankees, like, oh man, they needed this extra spot. They're really floundering and da da da, all this attention to the Yankees. And I'm like, hey, what about us? We're trying. We could be that team.
We could be that team. It's becoming to look unlikely, but we could be that team.
We're so close.
Have no fear, though. The cavalry is arriving. Eric, I don't know if you saw this, but Jordan Zimmermann has been activated off the IL, and of course, Nick Ramirez has been recalled from Toledo. So you excited about that?
Oh, so stoked. I can't imagine any more excitement for Zimmermann.
What role do you see old Zimmy filling when he gets to the D?
Being bad. I don't know. He's going to get the spot start, right? And then I don't think he's just going to get plugged into us in the rotation.
I think maybe. It could depend on what he does in that first spot start. Saying that, I think we know what he's going to do in that first spot start. So
yeah, it's, I'd be stunned if he comes out and just shoves, but you know, he's going to be on long innings on longish rests, and they're going to try to stretch him out. So, you know, he's going to get 4 days rest and either do some long relief or they'll find a spot to start him or whatever.
So Eric, you're a big bucket list guy. Was seeing Zimmermann don the old English D one more time on that list?
Let's just say I'm not going to pump any millions into renting a helicopter and rappelling down from it to catch a glimpse of one Jordan Zimmermann.
I'm not familiar with helicopter rental fees. Is that costing millions? Feels high.
You just got to know the right people and have lots of money. And you can, it's amazing what you can get.
And get pretty much anything with enough money. Yeah. But anyway, so we knew that this was going to be kind of an up and down year. The rebuilding path is weird and wild, and it's nice that there have been some exciting bits mixed in, but I think we kind of just need to take the flow as it comes this year.
Yeah, and even the exciting bits turn into bits. That's what you have with like kids, like Isak Paredes. We were so excited about, he hit that grand slam, he was working counts or whatever, and now he's like 0 for 16 or something like that. And it's just so harsh because that's what you get with kids. I mean, we've seen it with Jacoby. We've seen it with Reyes. We've seen it with Condelario. And hopefully some of those guys are coming back around. But in the early days, it was just, there's a lot of chaff with the wheat, unfortunately.
Man, that's a great reference. Look at you dropping agricultural.
Yeah, I do a lot of threshing in my spare time. So
I can see that.
Yeah, my own threshing floor, artisanal breads.
In our time in Israel, I was actually on a threshing floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your ox. It's a biblical reference there for you.
Let's talk about some good things. As you so eloquently put it before our podcast chat, the Victor Reyes vindication tour continues.
Yeah. He is just lashing out on everybody who besmirched his name.
Which was pretty much everybody.
Yeah. He's making all the crow eating, all the mea culpas are needing to happen because he looks good, doesn't he?
He looks great. So what seasonings do you prefer on your crow?
Well, it's from Trader Joe's, everything but the bagel.
So bougie, man.
Yeah.
Tell me how that 1% is.
Maybe some dollar store garlic salt. Come on. But Reyes, he's been so good. He, you know, I'm not a big breakdown mechanics guy or a deep dive stats guy, but it just seems to me like he's taking the pitches away and not trying to power them and swinging wildly. He's just going with them, golfing them in a mild, controlled way to the other field. He's hitting some of the earlier pitches with more power, and just his approach is so good. He's becoming a tough out.
Yeah, absolutely. These are things that good hitters do, right. And it's very pleasant that we have somebody that is now doing things that good hitters do. I find that enjoyable.
Weren't you saying something about his exit velocity or something? He's just he's just hitting with more power.
Yeah, so amongst Tiger's regulars this year, he is third in terms of average exit velocity, which would you have ever guessed that coming into the year? Like, he obviously put together a decent second half to the year last year, but it was a lot of singles, kind of a lot of low exit velo stuff. He's putting charges into the ball right now. OPS of 803, which as a frame of reference is higher than Nolan Arenado, George Springer, or Eugenio Suarez. So clearly, I mean, he's probably going to be one of the best power hitters in the game from here on out.
I don't know about that, but for
the record, that was sarcasm. It has been a small sample size, and that's why his OPS is higher than those noted sluggers.
Well, yeah, okay, small sample size for that particular OPS, but he's over 100 games now with over like 300 batting average, making good contact. This isn't a small sample size for excellence as an overall hitter, I'd say.
Are you ready to pronounce him, in making air quotes here, arrived?
Sure, I think so. I think you can pencil him in and have some degree of comfort that he's going to be a league average hitter for you.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way he posts negative WAR, at least this year and probably the next couple of years. Thought experiment. Game is on the line and you need a hit. Is there anyone in the current lineup you'd rather have up than him?
I don't know. Maybe, is it Miggy? Maybe?
I mean, you have to think that maybe he has the magic left in that bat, but I mean, even for Victor Reyes to be in that conversation is stunning based on how much we talked crap about him, essentially nonstop for the last 2 years.
Actually, no, I'd want Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, I mean, he's our best player, but yeah.
Yeah.
So if we came away from 2020 kind of with the assumption now that both him and Candelario have established themselves as long-term pieces to the puzzle, not necessarily the star guys, but guys that can be a part of when we're good. Do you think that's a successful offensive campaign?
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to have a chance to learn some more about guys like Willy Castro and Isak Paredes. And if we cannot somehow manage to snag a playoff spot, then the secondary goal is to evaluate and have some understanding about these young infield guys. Because in the offseason, we're going to need to make some decisions about free agents. Who do we need to supplement the current roster with to be competitive? Do we need a guy like Scope again?
Yes, we do.
And I think we do, but at least you can move your pawns around on the board a little bit to know who we need to supplement. You know, maybe you can get away without signing a first baseman like Crone and, you know, get yourself another outfielder or something like that. But by learning who we have and who we think we can count on, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned looking at our young infield. An interesting occurrence on Tuesday after Scope exited when he got hit by the pitch, your boy Jason Beck pointed out that the infield was Paredes, Castro, Sergio Alcantara, and Jamer Candelario at first. Nice little puke of the future there.
Yep. I got to tell you, the most stunning part for me was Alcantara.
Have we ever discussed, you know, the pronunciation of kids' prospects' names when they come up?
Yeah. Sergio. The biggest thing I was told about this young guy was he's all glove and no bat. And if any bat that he does have, there's no power.
Yeah, tiny little dude.
Yeah, tiny dude. So naturally, what does he do when he comes up?
Goes second yard.
Pitch, boom. Gone. And I was like, everything I've been told is a lie about this guy.
Or just in general.
I'm gullible. Here I am thinking the kid doesn't have any power. And then he hits a gap or he's just hitting like a beast. Don't trust anyone on the internet.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I mean, we poo-pooed him great deal on this show. I don't know if I've ever expressed this, but I've personally wondered why he's been on the 40 man for the last 2 years, and now we see, because he's got all kinds of extra base pop.
And he's hit like five professional home runs or something stupid like that. He's had like no power.
20% of them in the last week, though. It's coming. I was actually wondering, do you think he was just like lulling the competition to sleep in the minors to have the element of surprise when he got to the bigs?
Like a pool hustler?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I mean, we can't rule it out. I think there's a non-zero chance that that's what's happening here.
Hey, you know, the lights are better. The big league stadium.
The buildings are taller. That's what Jim Price says. So as we've discussed before, anytime that I'm right about a player and then that, you know, that comes to fruition, they're going to make their way into the outline. Are you ready to be a Willie Castro guy yet? There's plenty of room on this bandwagon.
Tell me about Willie Castro, Hall.
So here's the deal. Willie Castro at shortstop right now is a bit of a project. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to stick there, but what I do know is...
Isn't that his, like, natural position?
Yeah. He's just not a very good defender. Some people aren't. We have several of them.
Okay.
But
okay.
What I do know he can do is hit the baseball. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, he looks real smooth at the plate, and honestly, I don't look at him in the field and say, like, oh, there's no, you know, foundation there. It's just the execution is a little bit off. Like, I think that there is a decent fielder in there that can be, you know, reined in. It's a bit away from that. But I mean, for a middle infielder, there's a lot of sock in that bat. And I think we got to find a way to keep it in the lineup kind of continually going forward just to see what we have. We don't have middle infielders to spare that we can just kind of poo-poo him because he's not very good defensively.
Well, I mean, you got Paredes, Candelario, and you know, these are all guys who you'd want to move to the corner outfield or, you know, eventually move to first base. Well, you can't move everybody to first base. You know, you need somebody to be the Johnny Peralta. I mean, who is going to play you a below league average defensive shortstop, but hit the ball.
I'd like to go on record saying that I think that Isak Paredes could do that.
Yeah, right. That's always been the comp for him. Peralta, right?
Yeah, he's never going to win a gold glove there, but I'm very confident that he could field every ball that was hit at him, like Johnny Peralta did for 6 years.
Yeah, and for all the crap Johnny Peralta got from guys like Lynn Henning, he could field okay, and he could mash. Do that.
Was there a specific reason that Lynn had issues with Johnny Peralta, do you think?
Yeah, he was fat. I'm sure Lynn is looking at Paredes and saying, no, this is no good. I want to be like, he should look like that Indians pitcher that came up who was super narrow. I forget his name.
Yeah. Moving on to a guy whose name we'll never forget. Miggy, we missed on last week's show. He got his big hit. Seems to have found a little bit more of a groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems to be very tactical. Hitting the ball the other way, taking what they're giving him. And I'm kind of down with that. Be the cagey veteran, you know?
I feel like he's giving a kind of strong Edgar Martinez vibes right now.
I'd take that. If he's going to stick around for the next couple of years.
Which he will be because he's making a little bit of coin to do so.
Well, I mean, if he can't hit at all or he gets hurt, I mean, something's got to happen. I mean, you can't just roll a corpse out there.
Factually,
he's got
correct.
Hit. He's got one job, hit. And if you can't hit for some power, you got to hit for some average. So figure it out. And he's wily enough to do that. And it seems to be he's getting into a little bit of groove after, you know, some stumbling. He just seemed to look a little bit more comfortable, seeing pitches better. And I'll take this version of Cabrera. I think he's up to hitting like 260 or something like that, 255. Even if it's not a ton of power, like he'll figure out a way to help the team.
So we go from the elder statesman to the young kid. You mentioned that Isak Paredes is in a bit of a slump lately, hitting .157 on the year. What have you seen from the young man? You still in?
Yeah, I am. He's been squeezed a lot. Maybe it's just I'm cheering for him, but he is a guy who is inclined to work the count and take pitches. And in order to do that, when you get some unfavorable calls, that does not help. And he's young. He's not going to get any veteran treatment up there. But I've seen some egregious examples of balls that have been called strikes on him.
And he still has the third highest walk rate amongst Tigers regulars, which admittedly, that is not a particularly high bar. But I mean, still,
but that is part of his game. Part of his game is drawing walks, and you do not want to coach that out of him.
No, absolutely.
It's like one of his strengths.
Yeah. Eventually it will normalize. He is last on the team in hard hit percentage, which is not ideal, but I'm still very, very hopeful there.
And I mean, he's the youngest of the young guys.
Even. Yeah, easily. All right, last topic before we get to the nonsense. You brought this up, and I thought it was a really good one. Who would you start in a must-win game on the bump?
To me, the only answer is Turnbull, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially after today. I mean, you could have said Boyd.
I would not have said Boyd even before today. Let's be honest. Yeah, the transition, essentially, I'm not going to say they've swapped, but like, we kind of had this high hope that Boyd was going to be the ace. He started on opening day, and Turnbull has definitely taken that mantle. And I mean, Boyd, like, we're reaching the point where we're going to have to figure out what to do with him.
Yeah. The stat that blows me away, he's had 3 games this year, right?
This year. Yep.
He's given up a home run to the first and to the second hitter he's faced.
That has to be a record. I
back to back leadoff home runs to start the game.
Three times. You know, obviously I don't have Elias behind me, but that can't have happened before.
But what a lousy way to start games. Even if you walk a guy, it's like, well, okay, well, pull it back together. Here, bomb. Next guy, bomb. Like, oh, 3 times he's done that. And then today he lays an egg. It's all these issues with Boyd.
Yeah, not ideal.
He's had some better ones in there, but yeah, what do you do with a kid like, you know, the problem is if he was a third or fourth starter, for a good team, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Matt Boyd, that's a nice piece. But for us to try to make him or think of him as our ace does not do him or us any favors.
I don't know if that's even true though. What's his ERA at? Like, wow. So ERA at 7.63.
That's a seventh starter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Power rankings. Oh, I'm finally recovering from my sugar coma from last week. So,
you get your diabetes test and supplies?
Oh my gosh. That was not good for my intestines, let me tell you. Something new this week. We've had some games against the Brewers.
True.
And the Brewers have been wearing kind of a throwback look, kind of this blue and yellow
design. Love it.
And
it is so sick.
And of course, they have the old MB logo on their caps, which is one of the best logos I think ever devised, maybe with the old Expos logo.
Yeah, that's a good one too. I agree.
So I have for you the best and worst current logos in baseball.
Okay, I like this.
So this is the official logo, not any of the secondary stuff. This is like, if you look up the standings, here's the little symbol by it. Okay, so these are the real logos. Okay.
The legit ones.
Yeah. So coming in at number 7 is the really a new classic, and that is the Houston Astros.
Okay.
I think this is a good look. I think it's probably the newest of the logos. Just a classic H, a nice typeface. It's in what they call a roundel. It's a circular shape.
Sure.
It's got the star in the middle, the dark blue and the orange, which of course I'm partial to. But the Houston Astros number 7 looks good.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Number 6 is the Padres, and this is like the interlocking S and D.
Okay.
And what's fascinating about this is the interlocking S and D, and it creates this P at the bottom part, right? So it's kind of like this negative space looking thing. It's kind of classy, clever, and simple.
Padres. I see it. All right. I never would have noticed that.
It was all right.
Kudos.
Yeah. I think they did that on purpose.
I don't think so. I think it was an accident.
Yeah. San Diego, stay classy, San Diego. Thank you. Coming in at number 5 is the Oakland A's. This is a roundel again. But there's something about the vivid green and the yellow together.
I agree.
Is very unique. It's very timeless with that club. And the A in the middle is got this like little tails on it. I think it looks
it's cool. A real fancy A. Yeah, I completely agree. The A's have one of the best color schemes in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it looks really sharp. Coming in at number 4, we have the Toronto Blue Jays. I always think this is very striking. The bird head, very regal, and it's very like sharp and angular. You have the leaf, you got the pointiness, and the typeface is very distinctive. I think it's just a nice composition, the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I completely, you've actually, I'm surprised that our tastes have jived so similarly, but you're killing this so far. I'm ready to snap on you at a moment's notice though, so don't get comfy.
All right, I will go with trepidation.
Absolutely.
Number 3 is the Detroit Tigers.
I'm surprised that's not a little higher.
I like the old, what's three? Three? I like the old English D a lot. You see the D, you don't need to say anything more. You know that's the Detroit Tigers. It's simple. It's a brand unto itself. It's timeless. It's been around forever. It's, you know, kind of elegant and nostalgic, but at the same time, kind of hip.
Yeah.
I like it. I love it.
That's fair. Okay.
Coming in at number 2, we have the Chicago Cubs. It's kind of chunky and bold. It's the circle with kind of very circular C, like interlocking. It's very symmetrical in a way. And it almost seems like a piece of modern art to me.
It looks simultaneously very modern and very like vintage, which is a very hard thing to do.
Yeah. I think the Cubs logo looks cool. Number 1, you have a guess?
Are the Brewers included or is this Brewers aside?
So the current logos.
Oh, okay.
Because the current Brewers logo is like this shock of wheat, getting back to our threshing theme, like underneath it, you know.
Listeners had no idea there was going to be so much threshing talk.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Orioles. It's a big one for me anyway.
No, I'm going with the Dodgers.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty classic too.
It's kind of this perfect script and it's got this, the ball behind it. It looks like it's exploding. It's very like motion oriented. It looks fast. It looks like an American Sputnik. this design, it really is. It's timeless. Even when the Tigers wore the old kind of script Tigers from like the K-line years, they wear it for like Negro Leagues, the Tigre, or not for Fiesta Tigres.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's reminiscent of that. And I think but to me, I see that and I think, oh, that's the Dodgers, or it looks like the Dodgers because they have kind of cornered that. I mean, blue on white, it's looks pretty good. The Dodgers is number 1.
I agree. I can't poo on that much other than the Orioles one is with the bird. I think it should have been somewhere in the top seven.
The bird is so cartoony to the point
of... Yeah, but have you seen their mascot? That's exactly what he looks like.
A bird. Yeah. It's not as good as any of the other ones. Okay.
Hot take.
Bottom seven. Or bottom three. Ooh. Number third from the bottom, we have the Arizona Diamondbacks. This was, to me, one that seems locked in time. Like, oh yeah, this is like a 90s, early 2000s logo or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good
just
call.
Just with that color red and the gold and black, like, it's very locked in time.
I got a hot take for you on the Diamondbacks. I think they're the most forgettable franchise in baseball. Like, if they just stopped existing, how long would it take for you to remember that they were ever around?
Okay, I would agree with you, except for 2001.
Okay, yeah, that was...
After 9/11, and they beat the Yankees, and what was it, Craig Counsell?
Yeah.
That, and they had Randy Johnson and...
He who shall not be named.
Yeah. That was pretty memorable. And I hated the Yankees as much as I do now, and so I was happy to see them lose. So that's why I'll remember the Diamondbacks for that.
Fair enough.
That and what, Goldschmidt?
He's not even there anymore.
See, shows what I know. I don't know anything about him. Didn't they have Upton for a while when he was real good?
Yeah.
That's about all I know.
Yeah, the dude that you freaked out about the moment he got to town and were right about.
Upton.
Good times.
Yeah. The logo is fine, but it's trying too hard to make like the negative space look like a snake and you know the A. It's just too much.
Yeah.
No. So if the Diamondbacks is too much, then I'm going to one that's too little, and that is the Colorado Rockies. Their primary logo is a interlocking C and R, and it's kind of this silvery color.
It stands for the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, I know what it stands for. It just doesn't look very good to me.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not
boring.
A huge fan either.
It's not doing anything for me. the number one worst logo, primary logo.
I'm going to go Marlins.
That's a decent guess because it's kind of busy, but I'm going to go with the Cleveland Indians.
Okay. All so right. just the C.
So Wahoo is out, hopefully forever. That's good. But it's just this block C, which is better than Wahoo, but it's still bad. Like, C is a bad letter to do block style. You know what would be a better block letter?
A D?
M.
Oh.
M. The block M. Looks way better. The C is just, I don't know. It's the wrong letter for it. The whole thing's a mess. It doesn't have enough interest going on. And they're, the Indians is just stupid. They need a whole new makeover. They need a whole new identity and start.
And maybe just don't be in Ohio. You just round it right off.
New city, a new everything. Stop being the Indians. That's Power Rankings.
All right, so nothing on the side of the road this week, so I'll tell you more adventures in Indiana. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, it's better than Ohio.
So I'm on my way. So we have a couple clients out in the Middlebury area, which I don't know if you are familiar with, but that's Amish country.
I was going to say Amish country. You have to go through there
to get to Shipshewana.
Shipshewana.
Yeah, which is like Amish.
Yeah. Isn't that the home of Yup's Dairyland?
You're going to have to tell me on that one.
You got to go to Yup's Dairyland in Middlebury, Indiana, get some ice cream.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, there was a horse and buggy driving towards me. You know, the horse out front, the buggy behind, and the guy driving the buggy has on the Amish hat, the Amish pants, and, you know, the Amish jacket. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Sleeves cut off so that it's a vest, looking like the hardest dude in the world. It was so funny.
Sun's out. Guns out, horses out.
That's right. So
yeah,
that's...
you don't want that farmer's tan. Probably not.
It's very true.
Sunscreen is too English, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I also saw a drug bust on Ironwood when I was running today. So that's
Among
something.
Among Amish? Oh, not Amish.
No, that was in South Bend. That's a That was more of a city crime. But no, there was a trunk open and they were going through stuff and there was a man with his hand behind his back. So it was pretty easy to tell what was going on.
Yeah. I've sold disc golf discs out of my trunk before and I felt like a drug dealer. That's as close as I've gone.
So hardcore. Yeah. All right, let's move on to Twitter questions.
That's it. That's all that's happening in Indiana.
Dude, it's Indiana.
A guy without sleeves and a drug bust. That's pretty good.
I mean, that's a big week for here.
That's a lot for Indiana. Okay. I'm in charge of reading questions again, so you get what you get, people. All right. Twitter questions. Leland's Long asks, I know it's too early for this question, but you guys need some good questions. So who will manage the Tigers next year? I'm not convinced Guardy wants to continue.
Why? I'm just kidding. I think there is a non-zero chance that Don Kelly is our next manager. And I'm not just saying that to patronize Tigers fans. Like, I think that is a genuine possibility.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It'd be,
I joke about him so much, but I don't know if he'd get, do you think he'd be a good manager?
Yeah, I think managing is all about personality management. I think you surround yourself with guys to help you manage the game. And I don't see Donnie having any problem managing personalities.
I think, for my prediction, I think Guardy will be back.
Okay, I kind of do too.
Leland's Long also asks, I'm liking our young infield. Can Torque play the outfield?
I'm going to go on a limb and say he can play the outfield as well as he can play third base.
Ouch. I heard he's the club is like pumping him up.
Of course they are.
Good at third base.
It's in their best interest for people to think that he's good at third base. That is nothing but PR spin.
Here's the thing. When Torque is ready, Torque will have a place to play.
Agreed. Definitely.
Right. Yeah. So between him and Candelario, they're the corners. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Having too many good bats is a good problem.
Think Podhauser asks, what gives you the right? It's a fair question.
Yeah. I've never thought about, but
nobody, we make our own rights here.
Yeah. Okay. It's almost like there's no quality control on the internet to who can plug in microphones and record things.
There's a low threshold to entry.
Yes. Yeah. There maybe should be, if we're being honest,
you should have to put like $20 up if you want a podcast. That would weed out some of the chaff.
Yeah, it would. Man, more chaff talk. Huge agricultural show.
It's just ripe for... Never mind. Tom Lacombe asks, Tom Lacombe 4, what is your expectation from Jordan Zimmermann in his return?
I mean, I don't know that literal dog do is my expectation, but somewhere in that general vicinity.
Adam Langworthy asks, did you watch the YouTube broadcast?
No.
Because the Tigers were on YouTube today.
Oh.
Not on Fox Sports Detroit.
Interesting. No, I did not.
I caught part of it, and I will tell you, it was kind of fun. Like, I would like...
Okay, give me the lowdown. What's the difference?
Well, so Sean Casey was the color guy. I'm not familiar who the play-by-play guy was, but he sounded young.
I was going to say, they sound better. Take them.
Yeah, it was better than Shep. Sorry. But the broadcast was fun. On the right-hand side, they had a running chat going, and it was a kind of a curated list of interested fans or like semi-media. People maybe a step up from me and
okay.
You. I don't know. But like people who kind of know what they're talking about. It was kind of a chat. And that was kind of neat to see. I really enjoyed that. I guess they had Beck on the broadcast, Jason Beck, and one of the Indians guys too. To me, those guys are far more interesting than the players sometimes because they have some insight and well-rounded information.
Yeah, they're paid
stuff.
To be idea presenters, not paid to be athletes.
Yes. The broadcast itself from a technical and aesthetic point of view, I thought was really good.
Which is shocking if this is kind of more of a test run type of deal. You'd imagine that the long established ones would have the production value.
I thought it was really pretty good. Now, I didn't see the whole game, thankfully. But the parts that I did watch were good.
So we are officially 0-1 with a minus 19 run differential when playing on YouTube.
Right. It's a bad sign. But. Avila's burner account at GM Alavila asks, what sandwich do you think made Guardy sick?
I don't know. Is it BLT season, maybe? I mean, a lot of tomatoes are coming ripe these days.
Yeah. A Philly cheesesteak is what I got sick on. I don't know if that's a sandwich, but it's not a hot dog. Hot dog's a safe sandwich.
Maybe somebody told him that Zimmerman was on his way back and it was just a natural reaction.
You're so mean. Be nicer.
I feel like we've earned the right over these 5 years to say more or less what we want in that arena.
Yeah, if you're spending over $100 million on a guy, you can dog him every once in a while.
Yeah, specifically when we are personally paying him, yeah.
Renee at Halbach R asks, has Anthony Fennec entered the witness protection program? I don't know. Has Fennec not been tweeting?
That's a good question. I can't remember the last time Fennec like materialized in any way in my viewing.
I talked to Fennec about the Galarraga story. He wrote a big story on that, and I was there, so that was kind of neat. I got to chat with him about
that. You were.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
The quiet one at David Cook 1959 asks, where does Stewie go from here? It just seems like they've given him plenty of time to show he can hit at this level, and it's just not happening. Do they keep him at AAA in case of dire emergency, trade him, give him another shot, or release him? Okay. You have a take on that?
I don't know what we do with him, but from his perspective, he just needs a change of scenery. He needs different voices, you know, speaking in his ear. I'm not sure that there's a salvageable career there, but if there is, it's not happening here.
Well, I think these things are kind of self-determining, right? There's no reason to release him. You still have his rights and he's cheap. So you're not going to do that. You're not going to likely trade him because nobody's going to give you anything for him. So the what you do is you keep him in the minor leagues until you can't anymore.
I mean,
until he gets better.
Is he going to have any options for next year? I feel like he would be a DFA candidate after camp.
I'd have to look at his. He's relatively young yet, isn't he?
He's like 25. He's not that young for as little production as he's given at the big league level.
He is a, shall I say, a one-tool player.
And which tool is that?
Well,
not to be
you
mean.
Could imagine, well, right now he's a no-tool player, but. In his best days, he was a power hitter. He would hit you home runs.
If he even gave a little bit of inkling towards having that tool, I don't think we'd be having this discussion.
But right now, he's. If you had to DFA him, you could probably still retain his services.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in that.
You're not losing anything if somehow he slips through your fingers.
Correct.
Okay. Brett Yoder asks, we all know Guardy is a bit of a lovable oaf. But if we were going to try to win going forward, do you like him as the manager? If not, who do you like? I feel like we kind of covered this. But I like Guardy.
Yeah, definitely. He's better regarded than his predecessor.
Right. Oh, yeah. Which is weird, but anyway. At JBiz03 asks, which of the outfield prospects, I'm still pondering the last question. For some reason in my brain, I thought our last manager was Jim Leland because we talked about him. And I just completely blanked on years of Brad Ausmus. Like, I don't even feel bad about that.
No.
Okay, back to the questions. Which of the outfield prospects do you think will stay with the organization? Which do you think will be flipped once their values are established via their play this year? There's a lot baked into that question, which I would question, but what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know that anyone that's played the outfield for us this year is getting flipped. If anything,
it'd be the infielders.
Yeah. But I don't see anybody that's debuted from us having more value in a trade than they do actually playing for us.
Yeah. Like, we need these young guys.
Yeah.
Lots of them, because you need, you know, it's like ordering a package of something on the online, and they're kind of mismatched, and you have to order 10 to get 3 good ones, you know, that kind of thing. That's how it is with prospects. If you want 3 good somethings, you got to get 10 of them and sort them through.
That's an incredible analogy.
Well, I couldn't come up with the exact thing, so I just said things off the internet.
Socks, maybe?
Well, like, imagine, you know, 2x4s from the Home Depot. You know, you got to sort through them to get, you know, 10 2x4s, you might have 3 good ones.
Well, sure. Who doesn't know that?
Lawn Steak Ball asks a question about Robert Baker. So Robert Baker, the good people named Robert Baker out there. It's a common name. So a little shout out to all the Robert Bakers out there. On Pizza Slayer, JSlaw 0809 says, I think this is the guy who always gives us like clip questions. Is this the Baywatch question too? Anyway, on Family Guy, there's an epic farting contest between Peter and Michael Moore. Who would win a similar contest between Gardy and Gene Lamont? Who is a better farter?
I mean, that's a really good matchup. I gotta go Gene. He's got a little more. He's got a little girth on
girth, and
Gardy.
He's got age on his side, I think.
Yeah,
you know, experience. The digestive system isn't quite as nimble. I would say
true.
All right, we should stop agreeing. We're supposed to fight. That's how these shows work. Dan Hogan 95 asks, with everything that is going on, how beneficial is a playoff berth and playoff success in 2020 compared to normal years?
That's a really good question. I mean, from a like literal standpoint, I don't know that it does, but from a psychological standpoint within the team, I mean, it could have a little bit of lasting impact. I think in the end, whether it's a weird series or not, weird season or not, people are going to kind of have similar takeaways from it as they would a normal season.
To me, I think it's more important. And I think whoever wins the World Series this year will be more memorable than other seasons. So, for instance, who won the World Series in 2011?
Probably the Red Sox. I feel like that's...
Who won the World Series in 2008?
Probably also the Red Sox. I don't know.
I don't know the answer to these questions. Like, but I feel like in this goofy season... Whoever does something in the playoffs in 2020 will be remembered because it was so goofy.
All right.
I think it'll hold extra import.
I kind of hope so. I feel like that is something we could all use. I'm skeptical, but I hope so.
Yeah. Mitch from Michigan asks us a very in-depth question about restructuring our life using classic TV sitcom characters.
I actually did some research on this one.
What's that?
I said I did some prep on this one.
Oh, okay, good. So I'm gonna read it then.
Okay.
But yep. All right. You have to reconstruct your life using classic TV sitcom characters. Who would you pick to be your father?
Oh, I did not read this question correctly. I picked
mother, sibling, significant other, best friend, or wild card.
I picked characters that bore similarities to my dad, mother, etc.
Okay.
Well, so how about I answer it that way?
Why don't you just answer whichever question you imagine?
Yeah, reading's hard. I don't do it much. So for my dad, I went with Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Okay. Big Steve, I'm sure, appreciates that.
Yeah. That one I feel like goes without saying. My mother, yes. Aunt Viv from... Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I feel like she had a lot to kind of rein in, keep together, did it flawlessly, and ended up being two people over the course of the season.
I was going to say, like, she's an African-American woman who's actually two people.
Exactly. The similarities are stunning. Yeah. As far as wife, I went with Cheryl from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Just the nicest girl in the world, has to put up with daily nonsense from her husband, okay. Which in that case would be me. Best friend, the person that reminds me most of my best friend is Detective Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay, well.
I just watched Tigers.
And then the wild card, there's this guy that I host a podcast with. He's kind of old. He reminds me of Frank Reynolds from Always Sunny.
Okay.
It was you. It was the joke.
I'm Danny DeVito. What the heck are you doing, man? The DeVito accent going. We're kind of different sizes.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, you're roughly two Danny DeVitos, or he's like a half of an Eric.
I love Danny DeVito. I think he's fun. He's a good dude. All right, are we done with that question?
That's all I have, so preferably then yes.
We are. Yes, we are. Okay, high school Tim in the North asks, if you could swap out the announcing crew of Gibby and Shep for Mario and Simo, would you do it?
Yes, unreservedly, yes.
I would too. Although I see what you're trying to do by inflicting us with Craig Monroe. And that does hamper the duo. But the play-by-play guy does most of the talking.
Right. On a Madden scale, Mario's like an 80. Shep and Gibby are like 65s and Simo's a 50. Like the difference going down is not nearly as big as the difference going up. Does that make sense? Okay.
I am seeing some renewed energy for Mario. And I think this is good. I would love to have Mario back.
Yeah, it feels like a no-brainer. Enough time has passed.
Let's all just ask. Not to poop on Shep.
Who do we ask, though? I mean, who?
Just at the Tigers. They're in charge of everything. Just
right.
Send them an email. Respond to Instagram. They're, say, it's time to bring Mario back at Tigers.
Please. Ask nicely.
Yeah. Speaking of Robert Baker, he's back with a question. Kerba1123 is Robert Baker. Obviously, this season's odd playoffs put the Tigers into contention later in the season. But at what point, given the difficulty of the remaining schedule, do they consider shutting things down?
I mean, we got to be more than a game and a half out of the playoffs to do that.
You know when you shut it down? When you're mathematically eliminated.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you try.
Yeah, I mean,
you play to win the game.
I'm just trying to think of, like, the cost-benefit here. Like, the only people that you'd be saving would be Mize and Scooble, and they'll have had limited innings anyway. Yeah, I really don't see any point.
Shutting it down doesn't look much different than trying, what you're trying to say.
And also, Gardenhier, he doesn't have a shutting it down bone in his body, so I don't know that that's an option.
Brian Frankfurth, who is at Chief Broom, asks, he has two questions.
He's oh, boy. Here we go.
Question one. What is the least craziest thing that you would have to happen for you to get a Victor Reyes tattoo? There's some energy on the Twitter about getting Victor Reyes tattoos because the UK kid and now some other kid, you know, basically bet that they're kids. You're going to call me old. I'm going to call these people on Twitter kids.
I mean, at this point, it's kind of played, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not in. And he's good now, too. Like, I feel like that takes a lot of the sting out of it.
Yeah. And he got like a jersey with the number on it. I want like a face. Give me
a portrait of Victor Reyes.
Yes. It doesn't count just to get his number. That's weak sauce.
That's fair.
I want a full chest piece of Mr. Reyes.
That would be something. I'd love to see that on somebody.
Yeah. Question two. If getting a Victor Reyes tattoo guaranteed that the Tigers win the World Series, would you do it? Yes.
Absolutely. That is a great question. I think I would too. It would be small. And like you said, it would be a portrait, but it would be, I'd do it. Why not?
Especially if you'd wuss out and like do a D with his number or something like that, or his stat line from the, you know, something. Or that's a weak sauce approach, but I would do that for a World Series win. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is that power? Is that Twitter questions?
Getting right into my, I'd put it someplace in my Big Poppy jock region with the peanut butter. <It's> so good. Oh, no, there's more. Anthony Troya asks, so now that Jordan has a new pod, who's the cuck in this situation, you or his new co-hosts? this is kind of a, it's kind of a pejorative term, don't you think?
You're the one reading it out here.
You know, I'm happy for Jordan in all his adventures. Okay, there's more questions.
Let's save them for next week. I have 11% battery on my computer right now. We need to wrap this up.
Thank you, people, for the questions, and do even better next week.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. And as always, we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, etc. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
No, I'm out of agricultural references.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, tigers. Eat 'em up.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.